we conduct our evening business. So it's over to yourself and Gina. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. The members thank for the opportunity to present the American Draft Corporate Plan. My name is Paul Bradley. I'm from Community Safety. We've been assisting the Council with preparing the plan and most are we with the engagement so far. So the presentation is going to cover the engagement and some of the key things from that. The emerging draft vision, mission and values, and draft objectives and key actions, and then conclude from the headlines of the excellent outcome. I know you have a copy of the draft in your pack, so I'm not going to go through the entire document, you'll be glad to hear. So we're not going to mention the profile of the district nor on the progress in delivering the outgoing corporate plan. Nor are we going to refer to the program for government, community plan, and so on, all of which you will know is part of the policy environment that will have been taken into account in preparing this draft plan. So, quickly let me know what the engagement has been so far. Sharing the meetings with a wide range of stakeholders, you'll see them up there, the DEA forum, members, we had a members' workshop back in the end of February, meetings with council employees across all sectors of the employment, representatives of the business sector, youth sector, and all the secret forum. And then stakeholders who were involved in all those meetings were asked really what they thought the needs of the district, the priorities of the district were, the impact of the corporate objectives, the first term corporate plan, and what they thought the mission objectives and actions should be going forward. So that's how the discussions were structured. You'll note at the bottom that there will be a 12-week public consultation on this draft following a month from the completion of the draft. And that will be a series of public engagements across the DEA. So, just to remind yourselves, you can see some of that. The survey was undertaken by an independent survey Institute of Market Company back in September 2018. It was a representative sample for age, gender, social status, and across the DEA wards as well. And a key question for our purposes was around the draft plan was what the state considered to be the priority issues. And you'll see that top of the list was supporting local businesses, attracting and investing in jobs. Then came improving health and well-being, community relations, improving skills and employability, obviously linked to the first one, part. Green spaces, roads, infrastructure, obviously not a council responsibility, delivery of quality affordable housing, managing waste, education provision, activities for teenagers, support for older people and more vulnerable residents, and reducing poverty. And you should have a full copy of the report of the resident survey back whenever it was completed. So this slide only shows the answer to that question about what people thought were the priorities. Findings from the resident survey then were shared with people at the stakeholder meeting, so they have an idea of what residents felt that they were. That was very useful and important for the discussions. So, the stakeholder engagement findings commonly expressed suggestions and comments. There's a full report for all that report available. So, there's about 8 things of them. First of all, questions should continue to be proactive on attracting economic investment. People recognize should also be supporting business growth, which has been doing job creation, promoting business networking, and access to support information that business may need to either grow or to start up. Tourism development then, people have a fairly clear idea of what the kind of tourism development wants. Talk about being sustainable and promoting the uniqueness of a natural and cultural environment of the area. And councils to advocate for greater investment by government and others across the country. Linked to that then was that environmental assets should be managed, developed and promoted, and neighbourhood services enhanced for the benefit of both visitors and residents. People linked that back to tourism, but also obviously saw it as an issue of great importance in itself for people who live across the country. Physical and mental health and well-being should be enabled by all council run and support community life and sports facilities. So should be intertwined with those programs council run project facilities that have been developed up until now, with various funding programs, may struggle to sustain in the future, and that perhaps council should work with those organisations in partnership to see how they could build in sustainable plans into the future. Improvement, modernisation of council services, fundamental development, well-being and economy. A lot then, I hope you'll be glad to hear, a lot about the advocacy role of council. But you know, all the people saying we work our council to be advocates in the area, to be advocates of the needs and priorities of the area, and want to see council not only an advocate, but also they're working in full partnership with strategy agencies and government departments. Okay, so from that then we began to think, well, what kind of a district, what kind of a vision of people are people telling us they have for the district? So we think what they're describing is a district with opportunities for local people and communities to thrive and economic development, which is sustainable and helpful for these people today. A district which is attractive and welcoming to visit and to do business in. One where people lead healthier and more active lifestyles, where communities are more cohesive and safer, and more people are actively engaged in civic life. Here with a reference to council's role in enabling people to be active in their communities and wider civic life. A district which protects and develops our environment for the enjoyment of state addresses from visitors and for the benefit of the future generations. Quite a bit of talk about the environment being seen as an asset for both visitors and residents, and supporting tourism there. And a district which provides moderate, affordable, and accessible facilities and services for a better quality of life for all, especially with people in places who need more support than others. So, what would be the council's role then in achieving the acquisition? That we hope is summed up in the mission, which is council's mission would be to support and advocate for a welcoming district, welcoming to all, whether they're visitors or whether they're new residents coming to that area, whether they're tourists. A district which is progressive, healthy and sustainable, and provide friendly economic, environmental, and social outcomes for all. We also ask people then about what type of a council they want, what type of organisation to describe what that organisation should be like, what its values should be. So people began to talk about that, began to suggest words and describe the type of council, the type of relationship we want to have with the council. One of the other things they said was that if we do come up with a set of values, then it becomes pretty easy to remember, which is where the word crest comes from. Crest then is keep to the top of a hill or a wave, and a symbol representing the organization. So crest is validity, finding the most partners with others, to be responsive, listening and respond, hopefully positive, to you and everyone. To engage, involve residents and staff in identifying needs and improving services. Sustainable, modernize and transform services to develop the district with one future generation. And so transparent. So the question to make decisions on services and resources allocation openly and decisions to be informed carried out to that. So hopefully we've captured the type of council that we're hoping for in the protocol. I should also say that staff were also very interested in what the values should be, that those values should be captured in a memorable way. Such a word is correct. Okay, so a lot of detail on each side, and I hope it's really unavoidable. Because two slides then are detailing not only what your objectives should be, but also some of the key actions in delivering these objectives. And I'm not going to do them all, but I'll just try to acknowledge some of the work specifically. All of this is on page 21 to 25 in the draft that you have. So the data objectives are all, and they're a few good important. People can always ask us about that. The objectives are equally important. So far, in the draft, they are of equal importance. In the draft, presented with a short descriptor and key actions, and also an indication of how success will be measured. Specific targets then of success will be developed and presented in the business and service plan that you get from that report. So, for example, on the objective, what key actions include working with others to support business growth and job creation, rolling out the city days, and securing the government's infrastructure. And these are effective measures of success, which include the number of jobs created, the number of jobs, and so on. Objective 2 is to check how council can contribute to improving health and well-being by providing specific programs and delivering the play, sports, and open space strategies. And you see then measures of success to the number of people participating in programs and so on. Objectives 3 and 4 need to be enhanced, protect, and promote our environment. That objective then incorporates the dual aims of reducing harm and enabling people to benefit from the natural built environment and moving towards a circular economy, with reusing, recycling, and avoiding waste wherever possible, and publishing local development plans are among the key actions there. As I mentioned earlier, the concept of sustainable tourism, which is of lasting benefit and integrates with the unique statistics captured in objective 4. Things like overnight stays is a key measure of success, investment in capital projects and key actions. And then this will look at the best way in sustainable tourism growth plan, which comes to council, comes to yourself, in due course. Objectives 5 and 6. 5 is to enable and support the engagement of business diversity activities in our community. We were involved in engagement today. I've recognised that working in partnership with the council, we've been able to attract project funding for both activities and facilities. But a concern that in the current and attentive financial climate, there will be sustainable challenges, as I mentioned earlier. The financial assistance scheme of council and facility strategy will be taken the important action as we work with the partners through the community planning process. As members then will appreciate any villages and parents across the district and indeed the region facing different challenges. Promotion of revitalization of 7,000 villages and rural communities results in key objectives. Revitalization will need to include a degree of lean thinking, the purpose of attracting a wider variety of functions and activities into our towns and villages. Perhaps new forms of economic activity which are emerging with new technology may provide opportunities to improvements. Finally, objectives then, 7 and 8. Provide accessible, high quality and integrated services through continuous improvement, and to advocate, as I mentioned earlier, with others for the benefit of each other. These two objectives cut across and support the other six objectives. Continue to improve the improvement agenda, and members and senior officers being strategic and our advocate are clear-set priorities. The headline projects and key inputs in the detail we just skipped through there would be a new service center, the Albert Basin Park, new theatre and conference centre in Newry City, community centre provision in Newcastle, Warren, Mount Canada, publication for local development talent strategy, the rolling out transformation programme of services, and then progressing projects contained in Belfast, Region City D.
I'm saying the Casey's Plaza there, I think.
Headline outcomes then, we're going to gain from delivering the draft plan, increase an increase in infrastructure investment that enables the future economic growth, enhance investment in sustainable tourism, more people participating in target health programs to encourage healthier lifestyles, ongoing reduction in biodegradable municipal waste, essentially landfills, a new civic centre as well as new conference and conservation facilities, empower communities, introducing local services and development, a transport council and charity service provision and delivery, and a powerful and commercial council which continues to advocate for all of them. That's it, folks. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much for that, Colin. But the next step will be to go for a public consultation and that report goes back to us.
Yeah.
So, members, do you want to ask anything now or any particular thing that caught your eye, or do you want to wait till the consultation is done?
Well, I think
consultation's over, and then we'll see the completed document. Happy enough for that? Thank you very much, Colin. You want to add anything?
No, just plans are now. We've got to get those settled in now and get started. Everybody happy enough to get that moving?
Right, councillors. Apologies have been received from councillors Curran, Dalton, Larkin, Mulgrew, Sharvin and Stokes. And apologies also from Doreen Carvel. Before Michael Savage. Anyone else? Councillor Hemmings, Liz Kinnan.
You're very welcome. You're going to go, Brad.
There's a paper that page on.
All right, good on.
Everything depends. The more depends on what the right road number five times.
So while the boys are finding their seats here, the House Executive were scheduled to attend a special council meeting in September. Robert? House Executive were due to attend a special council meeting in September and was originally scheduled for the 23rd. However, quite a number of their officials can't make it, so our democratic services are proposing to move it to the 30th of September. If everyone here is content with that.
No problem.
Happy enough with that? Okay, thanks very much. Do you want to introduce your team, Sam? DFI, Rose?
Thank you, Chair. I'm Simon Richardson, and I'm the Divisional Roads Manager for the Southern Division of DFI Roads. This is Stephen Duffy to my immediate right, who is the Maintenance Engineer in Murray. Castlenavon, and Ian Campbell to my far right is the maintenance engineer for Newry, so we're very glad to be here.
So what we'll do is after they make a presentation, we'll take the councillors in the respective DEA areas, or 7 DEAs, we'll take them in this order alphabetically: Crotley, Forster, Patrick, Mourne, Newry, Rowallan, Steve Crubb and Steve Gullion. So pay particular attention to that. Whenever the boys are finished, if you have any issues, we're taking them in DEA. Okay, and Crotley will be first. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for this opportunity to present the DFI Roads Annual Report for the Murray, Mourne and Down Council Area. Some of you will have already met Stephen and Ian, along with other colleagues who made themselves available today to take any issues that you wanted to raise prior to this meeting. These were slightly amended party-based clinics, which resulted from my engagement with your party leaders group. I hope this format was useful, and I am, of course, happy to listen to any suggestions where we can further improve communications. I hope you'll all receive a copy of the annual report, which details the work we completed last year in 18-19 and includes our programme of work we undertaken this year in 2019-2020. As is usually the case, I start my presentation by setting the scene in relation to funding. So I'd like to start by giving you a short update on the overall departmental funding situation and how that cascades down to the funding of the road network. The department was allocated funding of $384 million in resource and $469 million in capital following the Secretary of State's budget announcement on the 28th of February. Our allocation falls well short of meeting our needs. It should enable the maintenance of drinking water supplies, but the sewage network is underfunded, possibly leading to an increasing number of areas where no new connections can be accepted. Similarly, the continued provision of public transport services, particularly maintenance of the railway infrastructure, will be challenging, and the maintenance of the road network will be problematic given its continuing deterioration and the increases in raw material costs. Since 2013, the department has relied on in-year funding to deliver core services, including public transport and winter grading. This continues to be the case this year. Almost 70% of the capital budget is taken up with committed or priority projects, leaving insufficient budget to meet the department's responsibilities as custodian of almost £40 billion of public assets. With the remaining funds, we have to strike a balance between maintaining existing infrastructure in water and sewerage, the road network, and public transport. Transport infrastructure plays a vital part in developing a prosperous economy and a healthy and inclusive society. To that end, significant funding has been allocated to capital projects, including a number of flagship projects approved by the Northern Ireland Executive. The funding will allow us to progress the A5 and A6 road schemes and the Belfast Transport Hub. Other capital projects for roads, public transport, and water and sewage network will be taken forward as funding allows. One-year budgets constrain how we plan ahead, and while we are working to follow the directions set by ministers in the last executive, we need to be careful not to take the big decisions that can or should wait for ministers. We recognise that maintenance and investment in our roads network is a significant issue. The recent Barton Review and the Northern Ireland Audit Office report both highlight that for a number of years, funding for road maintenance has been below the level required to maintain the structural integrity of the road network. Along with an increase in the cost of raw materials, this poses a particular challenge for us. Therefore, funding for road structural maintenance will remain at last year's level of £75 million across the province. Of that, £10 million has been set aside for Roads Recovery Fund to address areas of immediate need across the road network, which we initiated last year and were keen to continue this year. The remainder of the £75 million is being used to kick off an early programme of resurfacing, so more schemes can be completed on a steady programme during the summer and autumn months, when the days are longer and the weather is more suited to resurfacing work. Indeed, we have already taken advantage of the summer to start work on a number of schemes already. In order to maintain this level of resurfacing funding, and given other capital commitments above, other functions and programmes have not been funded to the same level as previous years. For example, in street lighting, we will no longer be able to provide regular capital street lighting replacement schemes across the province. These are systems that are nearing the end of their serviceable life and may be considered for replacement. However, we have secured capital funding to continue to roll out a programme of LED replacement to help reduce the number of light outages. There's also been a significant reduction in funding for local transport and safety measure schemes, such as pedestrian crossings, traffic calming, collision remedial, and junction improvements, which leaves us with very little scope to undertake any schemes of this nature this year. In relation to routine maintenance, we understand the implications of the limited service and its long-term impacts on the network. We acknowledge the importance of road maintenance, and therefore the initial opening budget in resource for this year has been kept in line with last year. However, this is still insufficient to deliver the services needed, and we will depend on in-year funding to deliver key elements of the service, including winter gridding and street light repairs. For potholes, the highest priority defects will continue to be fixed across the entire network. As was the case last year, we will continue to repair defects greater than 2 inches deep on our low-traffic rural roads, rather than the situation 2 years ago, when we could only repair defects greater than 4 inches deep. Thankfully, we have been able to avoid returning to that very difficult position. For street lighting, electrical and safety inspections will continue as normal, and the department will be providing a full service of outage repairs. The recent provision of LED lighting means that lighting will last longer and outages will be reduced in these areas. In relation to gully cleaning, all gullies will be cleaned at once during the year, with additional cleaning at known problem areas as required. We will also be able to provide a full weed spraying service this year, and contractors have been employed to provide this service across the district. As for grass cutting, we have secured funding to provide 2 cuts across the network, both rural and urban, but sight lines will be cut more often as and when required. I am delighted to say that traffic signal maintenance will continue at current levels to ensure public safety and to limit periods of disruption to road users. And now on to the report itself, starting with our strategic road improvements on pages 8 to 10. Development work is progressing on the Ballinahedge bypass, with preparation of the economic appraisal report progressing on schedule, and is currently projected to seek Department of Finance approval during this year. To advance the state of readiness of the scheme, contract document preparation is ongoing to minimise the time required to initiate a procurement competition should funding become available. At this time, no funding is allocated for the construction of this scheme. On the Newry Southern Release Road, we have just completed a community consultation event, which ran from June this year to the 23rd of August. This exercise has allowed the public to see the development of the outline design of the scheme and to comment on elements of the project that would be of interest to them. The comments received will be considered as part of the ongoing outline design of the scheme. We hope to complete the outline design of this scheme during this year, and we do have funding, including 50% EU funding, to the point where a decision on a public inquiry would be made, and that's approximately the end of the year 2020. Although the A1 Junctions Phase 2 scheme is not a scheme within this council area, I have referred to it on a number of occasions in my presentation to this council, as it is on a key transport corridor leading to this council area and will be of significant interest to many council members. This project will provide 4 flyover junctions to allow the full length of the Central Reserve to be closed up between Hillsborough and Lochbrickland. This will provide major safety improvements to road users on this strategic road. We are committed to taking forward the development of this scheme as quickly as possible. However, it is imperative that we follow due process to ensure procedures are followed correctly. The Department has completed the preliminary design of the preferred option and has published the statutory draft orders, which comprise of a notice of intention to make a direction order, a notice of intention to make a vesting order, and a notice of intention to make a stopping up order. An environmental impact assessment report has also been published, and a 13-week public consultation period recently concluded on the 28th of June. This provided an opportunity for everyone to have their say in the scheme. We are now considering the consultation feedback and will attempt to resolve any objections raised. If the Department is unable to resolve significant objections to the proposed scheme, then it may be necessary to hold a public inquiry. Progression to construction remains subject to clearing statutory procedures. On page 11 of the report starts our network maintenance work, and pages 16 to 20 details the resurfacing and surface dressing work we completed last year, including Strangford Road, Chapeltown, A2 Seaview and Upper Drumore Road in Warren Point, Shepherd's Way in Newry, Concession Road, Culliville, Newry Road and Dundrop Road, Newton Hamilton, and the A30 Silverbridge Road in Anduff. Page 26 details the resurfacing schemes we programmed for this year, including schemes at the A2 Downpatrick Road, Killock, the A29 Dundalk Road and the A25 Blaney Road, Newton Hamilton, the B27 Kilkee Road and the B8 Castlewell Road, Hilltown, and the Burn Road, Ballinahinch. On pages 27 and 28, we detail the extensive programme of surface dressing schemes for the summer of this year. Then on to page 31, which starts our network development work, and pages 33 to 44 detail the work we completed last year, including schemes such as the Public Realm Works in Irish Street, Downpatrick, which was a joint partnership between Council, DSC and ourselves, which wasn't without its difficulties. Indeed, some of the resurfacing elements on the footway and the carriage route remain to be completed. We also carried out work at the Belfast Road roundabout in Downpatrick and improved the timings for the Bransford Avenue and Shimley Road Junction in Newcastle, and a new shared footway cycle track and 2 new Tooting crossings along Shepherd's Way in Newry. Pages 45 to 52 detail our network development programme for this year, which includes a junction improvement at Collins Corner Downpatrick, which is due for imminent to commence next week. Also, the replacement and repositioning of 2 zebra crossings with 2 puffin crossings at the Castlewell Road Dundrum Road roundabout in Newcastle, and an infill footway scheme and Mail Bridge along the Hilltown Road from the Bavon Road junction. The remainder of the report from page 53 details our network planning and our street lighting work in the district. Chair, that concludes my presentation, and of course, as always, I'm happy to take questions.
Your two colleagues, anything to add? I just say that.
No.
Now, we're taking Cratleaf first, as indicated earlier, so anybody from Cratleaf? Go ahead, Charlotte. Sorry, Karen.
Thanks very much, Chairperson. Thanks very much for coming this evening and giving us the report. We did meet with Road Service earlier on and we voiced them for quite a period of time some of the concerns that we had. And a lot of the councillors that attended the meeting did raise safety measures, local transport safety measures, and a budget of £400,000 between the 5 councils was mentioned. Could I get clarification of that the budget. How does anybody expect, if it is the right budget, that said, to expect to do safety measures across the district? Because councillors aren't just mentioning them for the sake of their health. They're mentioning them because they see them as a safety issue, and so does the people that we're representing. I think this is a very worrying figure. If it is between the five councils, even if it was between two councils or one council, I don't think that that budget's enough. And can I ask, what reduction has that been, maybe from this council was first made back in 2015? What are we seeing in that reduction of the budget? The other one as well was on the, I'll mention when I'm in now, is on the A1. I have to say that, I mean, any measures, safety measures been done on that has to be welcomed, but unfortunately it's not to this end, in your and more end, where for a long time now we've been shouting about trying to get the safety measures in place, particularly at the Beech Hill junction. If we go on down when that road was first developed, we have no flyovers at this end, and yet we have crossings across. If you're coming from Dublin to Belfast, the first crossover, the first crossing that is allowed is actually that one at Beech Hill. And the figures of the death toll and serious accidents that have been at that junction speak for itself. I don't need to be telling news about it, but I would like to see that scheme that goes just stop short at Loch Brickland. We're not getting any of it, and I'd like to see Neary and Mourne included in that. The deaths along that stretch of road between Loch Brickland, many of them have been from our district. I'm not taking away in any way the safety measures done. I'm welcoming that, but I just feel that come on down the road another wee bit to we get a taste of the safety improvements as well, and not just for the drivers, also for local farmers. That from Loch Brickland, down just before you come to into this district, when that road was first made, the farmers got underpasses. But when you come into Neary Mourne, the underpasses only allow for the height of a tractor, where any of the rest underpass for farmers actually include the height for their bales of hay. I'm not sure of the terminology, but I think you grasp what I'm saying. So the height restrictions. Our underpasses here are actually used by local people because they can't cross the road with the way it is, and they wouldn't cross the road, and they're taking it at their own risk on the underpasses. But the farmers have to take their silage and their hay and their cattle across on the road where it was meant to be for an underpass. So maybe if we could look into to see if there's any way that we can increase the height of the underpasses as well in that. I could go on and on and on issues that you definitely have no money for, but the safety, that local transport safety measures was a red flag to me today when I heard the budget, and I would like to see that addressed. Thank you.
Charles.
Yes, Chair. Just like to concur with most of the points that Councillor McKeown has made. Simon, thank you for coming here tonight, and I want to thank Ian for making himself available this morning to meet us individually. I suppose, in essence, Simon, everything flows from the budget. And I mean, we heard shocking figures this morning that for the southern end of the district, for small capital works, footpath here and a small improvement there, there was only a budget of £200,000, or at one time there was millions to do that sort of work. So in real terms, since the budgets were slashed, what actually is the figure for that type of work in our specific area, not all over the country? So what was it in 2010, or for example, as compared to now? Because when those figures are made more readily available, it makes our life slightly less complicated when we're having to explain things to constituents. Because constituents just do not understand how weeds and tough the grass can be allowed to grow till 18 inches high on a footpath right throughout the district, right throughout the southern end anyway, before they're sprayed. They just don't understand that. They also don't understand that the dual carriageway between Newry and Warren Point, which is the main arterial route into the Moran coastal route, it just looks like an absolute kip during the summer months. And I had said to Liam this morning, this is Groundhog Day. We had this conversation last year as well. There's parts of the footpath on that dual carriageway that you actually cannot tell or distinguish the footpath from the ditch because the weeds are that thick on it. And I raised a particular issue with Ian this morning, and he's been kind enough to inform me before the meeting there that it is being addressed next week. But to bring you up to speed, on the dual carriageway heading into Newry from Warren Point, the torn off at the old Warren Point Road, that junction has seen many crashes and many fatalities over the year, and the grass is currently sitting at about 3 foot long just at that junction. Now, I'm very exercised about that point in particular, because when cars are turning right there onto the old Warren Point Road, as they will be doing in increasing numbers over the next week or so as the schools are torn, the traffic coming out of Newry towards Warren Point, by the time they hit that junction, are doing 70 miles per hour. Where the traffic that is turning off to cross over the carriageway to go onto the Warren Point Road are blinded until the very last split second. So just wanted to bring that to your attention, but like I say to you, I want to thank Ian, because he did come to me there before the meeting to say that has been addressed next week. But the general state of the place, Simon, if you just touch on that sort of generally about the budgets, what has happened, and in real terms, how much it has been cut over the past number of years, and is there any chance it's ever coming back to the levels that it once was? Because if that was the case, we would assume that the level of service would come back also. Thank you.
You want to respond to those two before we move on to Patrick?
Thank you. Yes. In relation to the budgets, I'm happy to give the figure. I'm not happy about the figure. No, I mean, and the figures that you quoted are roughly correct. Just to be clear about the councillor, I mean, I have, in Southern Division, there are three council areas that I'm responsible for, which is this one, Armagh, Banbridge and Craigavon, and Ards and North Down. And in that budget, I have a budget of less than £600,000 for all three. And in this area, at this present moment in time, I've allocated £200,000 of it to this council area, which is more than a third than what I've got to have. Now, a bit of a background to how the department has got to that is, in my speaking notes, I had referred to reports of the Barton Review on structural maintenance, which is resurfacing, and also the NI Audit Office report highlighted the fact that we had been under-investing in the road network for so many years, capital resurfacing. And the senior management team within the department felt that with those two reports sitting on their desk, that we could not reduce that from last year. We had to at least maintain the level of resurfacing money this year. So that's why it was retained at 75 million. When you take into account all the other committed schemes that the department has, then the remainder of the capital money was allocated as such, and that left us with the figures that we now have. And that's the position that I'm not happy to give you that figure, but I'm happy that you know it, that's what it is. In relation to how that has changed from 2015 or since, I don't have that information with me, but it certainly has reduced, and reduced significantly. And I think, as some of the staff may have pointed out today, when you take £200,000, one pedestrian crossing can cost in the region of £35,000 to £40,000 for one puffin crossing. So that's the level of impact that has. On the A1 issue, the scheme that I referred to is the A1 junctions phase 2, which is between Hillsborough and Lockbrickland, and we're progressing with that, and I welcome your comments on that. That doesn't mean to say we're not looking at the other from Lockbrickland down to Beech Hill, but it's not a scheme at present. but as a scheme that I'm hoping to progress through the RSTNTP, which is the Regional Strategic Transport Network Transport Plan, and that's being looked at. That looks at all the schemes that are on the table right across the province. So we will be pushing, that scheme has already been highlighted. Underpasses, without knowing the detail of the headrooms, the underpass, I need to come back to you on that, but I know they're not due to be used by, they're only used to be there for private farmers, so I don't have your answer to that one, but I'm happy to discuss that later with you. Budgets in relation to, I think I've answered, I can't give you the real term reduction from 2016 because I don't have those figures with me. But it is a significant reduction from 2016. In relation to routine maintenance, such as grass cutting, weed spraying, the resource budget is very, very, very badly hit. And we're at a place now where we have a limited service, and we refer to it as a limited service because we used to have a service, 5 years ago we had a service which was in place for many years, and that had to be reduced. And that's the place we are now. I don't see any indication that our resource money is going to be increased. We don't even have enough resource money this year to do what we need to do, and we're going to have to do in-year funding for winter maintenance to make sure we have all of those things. And next year the indication is that the levels are going to be very similar, if not reduced further. So there's no a straight answer I can give you. I'm not aware of any further money coming to help us with routine maintenance work.
Okay, Dan Patrick. Anybody from Dan Patrick? Go ahead.
Thanks so much, Chair. Maybe just to say that the majority of my issues obviously were covered in the clinic this morning, and I have to thank Stephen for being there and the team that was there, able to shed a lot of light on a lot of the projects around the local area. One of the issues that I'm probably just picking up now at this session, it's just I didn't really have the time, I didn't have the information from the forward that you'd given, was around obviously the budget and how it's affecting the street lighting, because obviously maintenance of street lights is quite a touchy subject, and as we all know, there's many individual lights that will be out across the whole district, and it's how do you keep up with it? You're giving us the picture that the budget's really just not there to keep up with it. So I'm wondering, how is the cuts to the budget affecting your expansion of the upgraded street lighting? Are you finding that you have to reduce the number of schemes that you're putting forward each year for the upgrade to the LEDs? And maybe also, what would be the lifespan of an LED light compared to, for instance, the fluorescent lights, the lights that are there at present? Because obviously, as you pointed out, there's quite a number of efficiencies that can be met through the LED lights. And what we're obviously hoping for is that if we can upgrade all of our lights to LED lights, then the money that could be saved there could be put towards, for instance, the safety projects around sort of the staff areas or the Warren Point or in Downpatrick or in Cross McGlen or wherever it may be across the district. That money can then be diverted, obviously, to those critical projects for safety measures. So I'm just wondering, where do we sit at the minute with the upgrading scheme for the streetlights, and how does the budget and the cuts to the budget impact on that?
I just wanted to touch on Irish Street. Obviously, I think we can all acknowledge that was quite a contentious scheme that happened, and I do fully appreciate that there was a lot of issues that you wouldn't have known about, but I do think it needs to be put on record that the residents and the commuters into the town and the traders were very badly affected by, you know, the delay in the scheme. And whilst I welcome the upgrade to Collins's Corner, and I know that it is going to be obviously beneficial for the town, I do hope that the same thing doesn't happen and it is managed effectively going forward, just that we don't create any more issues, you know, around the town in terms of congestion.
Can I respond to that? In
relation to the LED, we have been able to secure funding to continue the rollout of the LED lights. And you're right, it's twofold benefit. With an LED light, I think an LED light expect is up to 20 years for an LED light, whereas, you know, the other type could be much, much less. Plus, we have the energy savings that an LED light uses significantly less energy. So we have energy savings, and it actually can reduce our power bill over the year as well. Plus, there are less lights out, so we reduce our maintenance budget. So there are savings to be had there, and that's why we're trying to continue to roll out and invest capital money in that. So that's, and we have been able to secure that for this year. Irish Street, I take on board the points raised, and I know my team in Downpatrick who are managing that. It was a difficult scheme for us, and that's why I highlighted it, that's why I faced up to it in my notes at the start. Collins Corner, I'm hoping, will be much more straightforward, and we won't come across the unknown issues. It won't be without its delays. We can't do work on the network without having delays, but I'm hoping that it can be delivered as effectively and as efficiently as we can manage it. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Thank you.
Warren.
Chair, thanks very much. Thanks very much for your report. I can convey my thanks to the DFI Roads Department for all their assistance in the past year. It's greatly appreciated. In regards to the report, I welcome the Puffin Crossing at the roundabout Newcastle that is still on track for September. Just maybe to confirm that it is definitely going to happen. In September. This is a vital piece of infrastructure for the safety of pedestrians in that Newcastle area. Really, really busy area. A number of schools in the area, so I really welcome that development. It's been a long campaign to get it, but I thank you for it. In regards to another issue, and I raised it at the clinic, and I think other councillors probably from the Moors raised it as well, was in regards to the Bloody Bridge, that there is a continual issue with the parking of vehicles along the road at the Bloody Bridge car park. The car park is in council ownership, but then you get a bank holiday, a busy period, it's really a honeypot and it's really congested. But there has to be some sort of solutions found between the council and DFI Roads to at least improve the situation. And I would propose we have a meeting to discuss that and to see if there's any solutions. There is issues. It's a protected route. So even getting another car park would raise issues with yourselves about, you know, increasing the access onto the protected route. But there's issues that we have to try to resolve, you know, because a lot of these areas, I raised about the 12 arches as well at Morlock. And the crossing again from our car park, you know, they're very dangerous roads, and I think there has to be a greater waiting till tourism facilities. You know, if you're trying to access a nature reserve, a Blue Flag Beach, from the council car park, there needs to be a greater cooperation, you know, to ensure that the safety of users is paramount. But that's just a couple of issues. Raised them all in most of them in the clinic, you know, so we get the reports back from that. But thanks for your cooperation.
Glenn?
Thanks, Chair. A couple of things just for clarification there. Perhaps Ian can maybe answer this. I see you're in for a Puffin crossing in Allow. Now, you have it down as Main Street, Allow. Main Street is down to the harbour in Allow. What are you putting one down there? I assume you mean up along the main road.
To be fair, that's not Ian's. That's a traffic management issue. So
is that right?
I will clarify that for you and come back to you tomorrow.
All right, that's okay. The other thing is road markings. Where is that with that? There? Apparently, I was ringing up the other day and you're out of contract with your road marking company, whoever does it for you. I assume we just have somebody engaged. There's a number of yellow boxes and things like that in the moorings to be placed there. When will they be put in?
Thanks, Chairman. I've already sent in my list. Colette has forwarded it to DFI, so hopefully we'll get a written response. Obviously, I was disappointed that the legacy mooring and the former East or Down District Council couldn't have been amalgamated. I know you have your reasons for not doing it, but I thought it made common sense for us, for all hands. The issue, and I've discussed this with our chief executive, the Belfast City deal, includes two major projects, one in Newcastle and one in Newry. And as part of that, from the Scottish experience and from the instructions we've had on it, it is possible to do upgrade or to do road upgrades under the connectivity aspect of that scheme. And I would be grateful if you would look at the A2 between Newcastle and Warren Point. It's continuing to deteriorate, and the traffic flows, you know, the volumes are increasing, whereas there's nothing been done there. There's still pinch points for buses and HGVs, and I've actually had a bus driver and a lorry driver who have offered to take section staff out for a trip just to show you where those very difficult areas are on the road. But I'd be very grateful if you would give that A2 serious consideration. If there is a funding available from the City Deal aspect, you know, if we could utilise it, it would be a massive benefit to us. And the other thing is to, when my colleagues from Newcastle, I know we're all Moorings councillors, but Willie there would disagree with me that the Shimna Road should be reverted back to two-way, because if you're going on through to Annalong and Kilkeel in the summertime, you can sit there for, you know, really prolonged periods of time. And if that's not acceptable, even if you could upgrade the Trossey Road that, you know, when you go through Bransford and go round the back of the mountains, there's a small section of that road that is very narrow where two large vehicles can pass. But it wouldn't take much work to give that as a sort of an alternative route into Kilkeel and Annalong. And I would be grateful if you could look at that, because more councillors from Kilkeel, we've been Newcastle, whenever people get to Newcastle, they seem to think that's the end of the tracks, and we don't, you know, whereas Annalong and Kilkeel is very frustrating when you're trying to get on down home. Thank you, Chairman.
Henry, make up your mind. You're on your own.
Chairman, I just wanted to point out that Main Street is the actual Kilkeel Road, not in that Allround. It would be up where the petrol station is. That's where we've asked for all that.
You can answer the supervisor, ma'am. Leanne's looking in now.
I just want to tell that I know I did discuss it at the clinic, was the parking issues on the Burnray Road. Opposite the Tollymoor exit gate, it does be very congested of late, especially there over the summer months. Farmers wouldn't be able to pass through the cars park obstructing it, but then also parking on the pavements, which are obstructing pedestrians from, whether it be with children in prams or wheelchairs, so their only access then to the main road is the park. So I was hoping that maybe we could do like an interagency meeting or that to see is there anything there to improve the parking in that. Council has coned it over the bank holiday weekend. It has helped, but it hasn't resolved the issue. So I just want to make it as something that has been brought to my attention, and I just want to put it out that I would like an interagency meeting to see is there anything that can be done. Thank you.
Yes, Chairman, yes. I'm just looking at that page of the network development schemes completed 2018-19, the traffic management, the carriageway marking provided. So that would tell you that that's work that has been completed. But I know the one that Glenn's referring to there at Riverside Park, Kilkeel, hadn't started, but it's in the completed list. So we need to make sure that we don't forget about it. It's a very important junction with the VUR space factory, a very busy place, and traffic cannot get out of there. Generally, on the A2, back to what Henry was saying, that's a very dangerous stretch of road. A lot of large vehicles there. At the Ballast, in particular, is a very narrow place near the Bloody Bridge. And it's always overgrown with trees. The road's narrow. Very often, large vehicles will take stones out of the ditches on the other side of the road, and I know damage has been caused by those. They do wreck mirrors, particularly on buses, which cost a lot of money to replace. And even if you're driving in a car, anything, if you meet anything wider than a car, you will definitely have to slow down on that stretch of road. Kilkeel being a fishing port area, lots of heavy vehicles traveling in that direction, and I'd like to get that looked at. It's been talked about for years and still nothing's been done about it. I did mention to you guys earlier, but maybe you take a note again, a very important thing. At Lurgan Ray Road, there's a sign up for unsuitable for heavy vehicles, and that is creating a lot of problems for potato growers who export their product to England. English drivers come to see the sign and they think the road is unsuitable for heavy vehicles, whilst it's not unsuitable for heavy vehicles, but they're creating a lot of problems. Signage, there's no need for it. Just a general thing on surfacing, I see it's referred to as micro surfacing. Is there a policy of when you put the tar and stones and that down? Because I do know, and I've talked about quite a bit and almost laughed about, that the boys are putting the stuff down and the holes are sitting full of water. They blast the stuff in and the water is supposed to go to the side. Now very often that stuff will not stay in there. I know it's cold tar, but it will not stay in with the wetness of the holes. And obviously water runs back in again. I think I said it could be money wasted. Money could be better spent than doing a proper job. And just to mention one of the things, I know it's outside my mooring area, but it's important to moor, is the Southern Relief Road. I look forward to the day that I can drive on that road, but I know the signage within our own council building in Newry, which states will have no detrimental impact to the mariners going up the Newry Canal. Could you tell me, will there be a bridge to allow tall ships to go up through there to get the Newry, or is it going to be blocked off? Thank you.
Right, do you want to switch out? You finished, Carl?
Yes.
No more for me, John. So, John, sorry,
just
John.
Just on the Lurgan Ray Road that Harl was talking about, I actually got the sign put up because the riders were complaining that much that the lorry was jamming the road. So I think we need to talk to the residents before we move on the scenes.
Thank you, John. Go ahead, sorry, Tim.
Okay, in relation to the roundabout in Newcastle, yes. I understand my network development manager has been out and confirmed that the works at the roundabout will go ahead. In relation to Bloody Bridge, yes, happy to have a meeting with council to look at that. In relation to the Puffin Crossing, I'll check that out, but it's my understanding it's on the main... that's an error in our report. I apologise for that. The contractor situation in relation to white lining, or yellow lining, whatever colour it may be. We did have a contract issue and we are working hard to resolve that and hope to resolve that fairly quickly. One word of warning again, unfortunately, even when we do have a contractor in place, with the very limited budget that we have, it is difficult to keep on top of the maintenance work that we have. So it's, you know, there's only so much maintenance money there for white lining refurbishment. So just to be... Councillor Riley's points in relation to the east, what side of it relates to the Newry side of our management process. In relation to the connectivity of the A2, I'm happy to have a chat with the Chief Executive in relation to the Belfast Region City News and see if there's anything there to work on with that. And again, also in relation to the alternative route to Kilkee and what work we can do along that road. Again, parking at Tullymore, and happy to have an interagency meeting to look at that, very similar to the Bloody Bridge issue. The carriageway markings, yes, we'll make sure that if the mark is completed, we'll make sure that they're not overlooked again, so if they need to be done. The unsuitable for heavy vehicles issue, well, I can look into the history of that, which Councillor Dorn has given, so we'll look into that, and if it was there for a reason, then it's likely to stay there, but we can look at that again. Microsurfacing, I'm presuming you're talking about a velocity patcher, which is a thing that goes into patching potholes where it blows out the water and all the debris and then blows in the material with the... So that's something we're using more and more often now for... It's not the same as a proper patch, you know, cut-out patch, but it is very effective in certain areas. In relation to the Newry Southern Relief Road, We are progressing the preferred option and the outline design, and we've just completed a community consultation event, which finished last week, and where all the comments that we're taking on there, we will take on board. We presented at that consultation event that we were providing a fixed bridge, which would have airdrop 12.2 metres, so any vessels greater than that would not be able to use the canal. However, we're going to look at all the comments that came into that report, and we've been looking at everything that comes in.
Just to make a comment on that there also, we're working with, given that we're part of the deal in partnership on it, we're also looking at a business case in terms of the business case that surrounds the need for a lifting bridge, i.e. the number of tall ships, the economic benefit of that versus the additional cost to construct the bridge, plus the cost on a month-by-month basis of servicing the bridge to make sure it opens, because if you put a fixed bridge that is not used on an ongoing basis, then the issue in terms of your stopping traffic, which is a three-lane bridge, so in terms of opening that there and closing that there and the time to open and close it will have also impact on us. But again, I know that we're supporting DFI in terms of looking at the business case around the need for a lifting bridge.
You finish with the Yuri, Mick. Probably you happy enough with your contribution this morning? I know I was just coming in as you were leaving, saying that you had to leave because of a medical emergency. Everything okay at home?
It seems to be. I think it's okay.
Good man, that's fine. Do you mind if I get the topics with him now?
Sure.
I'm sure Valerie and Liz sort of give you a clear indication of the magnitude of the problems in around Newry and Paroga here in Newry City. Just in case they overlook some of them, all road markings need refreshed, cycle lanes, yellow box junctions, and disabled bays. And there's a couple of issues over exiting from B&Q. You know the fiasco that goes on busy days, especially at that particular junction. People are actually using Jolly's Gateway as a turning point. And unless something can be done there, you know, I'm surprised nobody has been killed or mangled there thus far. What other options are open to DFI to try and solve that particular problem? The next one would be the main thoroughfare from through Newry to on the Egyptian Arch. If you notice, all the route indicators of all the paint is all faded off, and it's a nightmare if you're coming up from Fiveways to try and head for Camlas. The road markings aren't clear as to where you have to go, and you have to get into your second lane as you cross over, and there have been a couple of near misses. That would need to be looked at right away, some clear direction as to where motorists need to go, especially for people who wouldn't be used to that particular junction, and you know the volume of traffic that sees. As well as that, under the flyover, the propensity that people have of parking mobile adverts there. Now, there was some indication that the ones that were there, they were vandalised. Some of them were vandalised, the windows were broken, and some of them were on the back of a lorry, tailed under a lorry. That they were going to be burnt at that time, at the 9th of August, and that. But they weren't. But there is maybe five or six there, and they are a big distraction to motorists. And it's the same down at, as you navigate the Fiveways roundabout, they're parked at almost at every junction, and now they have cars for sale parked on the grass verges, which are a complete distraction. Now, I don't know how you can solve that problem. You maybe identify who the owners are and give them a week's notice or a fortnight's notice to move their stuff, if not, train them away out of the way. So I'm sure Liz and Valerie have given you a fair indication of what needs to be done in around here. That's okay. That's me. Thanks very much. Okay.
The advertising. And to work. It is a difficult one to resolve, because you can the millions of vehicles, you know,
But if you put bollards or something, no fixed bollards on the outside of the footpath. But there are ways of preventing them from getting in under the bridge. Put bollards up, you know, feed bollards. What about it is a very busy junction, road marking indicators. I know it's somebody has already indicated that your road marking contractor is a bit of an issue with them at the moment, But as soon as that's re-established, could you prioritise things? Right.
That's in progress.
That's fine. Appreciate that. Thank you very much. Rowan. Where is it? Go ahead, Colin.
Thanks. Thank you, Chairman. Simon, first of all, I want you to hopefully convey my gratitude to your staff at Castlenavon. Once again, they've excelled themselves, as far as I'm concerned, as an elected representative. I've read through the report, and I'm very, very happy with the level of work that has been carried out over the last year and a half in the Rowallan area. When it comes to resurfacing, I think we have got our fair share of the pot. So we have a number of road schemes that I was lobbying for have been completed. The latest one started there last Monday, the Claylock Road, just outside Killay, heading to St. Fianna Derry Boy there, has started. I welcome that there. In relation to the Ballinahinch bypass, I'm still frustrated that we seem to have our ducks all in a row here now. So we do. And it's down to funding. So it does. It's down. The key word here is the funding for the Ballinahinch bypass. Now, I've said it before, say it again. Some people laugh at this sometimes and that there, but there was money made available through the confidence and supply. There was 340 million set aside for roads infrastructure. A lot of that's not getting spent because apparently a minister needs to sign off on it. I believe that if we could get our assembly up and running again, we would be in a very, very strong position to bid for some of that money for the likes of the Ballinahinch bypass. Because it does make me cross when I go up the country to places like Londonderry and that, and you see the new carriageways up there and what they're getting. And we have areas down here, we're the second class citizen down here, so we are. In this end of the province, you know, you have the Southern Relief Road, you have the Ballinahinch Bypass, the A7, the A2, all them there needs serious upgrades. And that, and I believe that if we could get our hands on some of this money, a lot of these projects will come to fruition, so they will. I really believe that. So I do. And hopefully we can lobby to try and get that money. Now, there's one thing that I forgot to mention today, and I'll raise it now, is in Ballinahinch, Main Street, with the junction of the Lisburn Road, there's serious flooding there. So there is, and I've had Hugh out. I've had Northern Ireland Water out in relation to it. I think we need a bit of joined up thinking here from the two departments. So we do. One saying it's theirs, not their responsibility. The other saying it's not their responsibility. Certain aspects. I do know that we've got the sewers combining there, and I think that's causing the problem. Now, you have the wee bridal shop there, you have that wee barn out there. They're getting flooded every time there's torrential rain. And I think a serious joint approach needs to happen there from the two agencies to deal with this. It's a very, very serious issue. I know I spoke to yourself in relation to it, Stephen, and by the time maybe someone had went out, you know, the water had receded and that. But when you have that heavy rain, there is a major problem there. So there is. So I would ask maybe if, you know, you could have a joined up approach in relation to it. And just on another good note, I've lobbied for this for the last 6 years, and I'm very pleased that you announced today that the upgrade of the pedestrian crossing in Killay will take place, and it will take place as part of the environmental improvement scheme that's taking place in Killay. There's a £400,000 environmental improvement scheme for the town. It's taking place during that work, which is a common sense approach. You know, do it all together. And I welcome that there. So I do, because it was only a matter of time before someone was killed on the present crossing. But once again, I want to thank your staff for the way they have treated me over the last year.
Very all right.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you, Simon, Stephen and Ian. Definitely a good conversation this afternoon. Just one wee thing I listened to there. There's lots of talk about money set aside for the A1, the A5 and the A6, but no mention of the A7. There's, I mean, a wee bit of upgrading still to be done. That, as far as money goes, it's not a colossal amount of money compared to what's spent on the other ones, and I think it's time that this wee upgrade should be finished. Also, it was good to talk to you this afternoon, and I'm looking forward to the barrier at the pedestrian crossing and Cross Gar being extended a wee bit because of safety issues outside McCarthy Sandwich Bar. And also welcome the gateways on the 30s and the Derryboy Road and the Killalea Road. So thank you.
Robert?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Just to follow along there from what far I was on there about the A7 from the Doran Drop Park to St. Faith, is there any advancement on that? Because even now the farmers are wondering when that is going to take place, and hopefully that there may be passing bays put in, because that's a very slow part of the road, especially the lorries and one thing or another. I admit to leave St. Faith, people want to try to get across Gar and to get behind the machinery there, and there's no place to pull in. But also along that road, the gullies. I asked the last time about to get them cleaned out, but nothing was ever done. And now you can't even find them because the grass was grew open. And from St. Faith to the carried off, that whole stretch is unreal, especially there at the Ballygown Road. Those gullies are non-existent anymore. The actual grass is just level with the verge. Something has to be done there because, well, if there's nothing done at the end of Ballygown Road there, it's going to flood out the Windmill Road again. And that needs looked at. And even the Windmill Road, there's that much stones and stuff that's washed off the hill, and it's washed down into that road. But it needs done, and it needs done now, because if it does come rain, that's what's going to happen. You made a great job in the main street with filling in the two tracks, but I put it on the guys hadn't stepped over to the other side and went back next to Lisbon Road, because that's the other side needs done there as well. I say those tracks in the main street are unreal. If you could get that sorted out. And on the Lisbon Road, there's a gully on the Lisbon Road that was actually fixed up, and they made a great job with it because they concreted them. But now the tarmac on both sides of it has dropped, and it's sitting up now like a ramp in the road. And I don't know, I get complaint after complaint about this last couple of weeks. It's actually really, really, really bad at the moment. And on the Ballinahinch Road there, just coming from Ballinahinch into St. Faith, there was a sign, a right turn sign for the Drumnacoll Road. And that sign has disappeared. And at the last time you were here, you said you were going to look into it and see if we could get one up again. And we need one up fairly soon because that's a very bad corner. And it's the overhanging hedge now. You can't see where anybody's sitting waiting to turn into the Drumnacoll Road if you're coming down the Ballinahinch Road. And I see a couple of very good skid marks there lately, so somebody's been getting a very tight to stop. So maybe we could get those few issues sorted out. Thanks very much.
Terry, you?
Thanks very much, Chair. First of all, I'd like to thank you, Simon, and also to Stephen and Hugh Morgan of Downs Action Office for all the help and assistance over the past year, and as always, very much on the ball and can do whatever they can, subject to the financial constraints, but they do their best, and the same as Joe Leahy from Street Lighting. And I do welcome the commitments to the Ballinahinch bypass. I know it's been on the go since I was in plastic pants, that's going back over 50 years ago. But I do hope I may have a do stay late at the end of the tunnel.
I don't know what the Russian was there.
Quite appropriate, Terry's nappies. Well, anyhow, yeah. I don't know what this to get in the pepper. leave it to Andrew's late enough. Well, anyhow, I do welcome the commitments to the Ballinahinch bypass, and I know we've had a meeting in Belfast with the Permanent Secretary along with Billy and Jim Chaney MP in relation to the Ballinahinch bypass. And I do share the frustrations because whenever I go to the Nelga conferences up the country, the roads are gleaming and shining, and yet whenever we go south to Carrickduff, it's a different world altogether. But I'd say it's up to a lot of trial and error part and working with us to try to come to that. But I left you a bestseller. I could be here at breakfast time in the morning, but I do hope, by the way, that you'll help us out with some of the concerns I've raised. But
another couple of wee pointers. And just in the flooding last December, we had flooding in down Patrick Street. I haven't seen anything like that since 2007. But I was out in Chile that night, and someone considered motors drove past, and I got a free shower. But as I say, businesses in the town are worried that if there's any more adverse weather conditions, that it could be a wee bit of a flooding. And also, and the old grand jury road in Stanfield, you know, it's been raised as well regarding manhole covers and flooding. But I've also been asked as well about, I've been in touch with the department a few times in relation to road bonds, whatever, because there's a development in Killalay and Ishmore, and that's been ongoing, you know, for several years now. In fact, it's the residents that live there because the road bonds, I don't think the road bonds are adequate to cover reinstating the road, never, because it's manhole covers are covered with steel plates and everything, and residents are worried about something happening. And maybe the road service could look at that policy, that if there's no way that the road bond can be fulfilled, or are the additional outstanding balances being addressed, that maybe road service would step in, you know, as the last resort to make good, you know, for the residents, each through no fault they don't have to endure with the conditions. I know Inishmore is not unique, there's other areas like it, but again, it's just people feel frustrated that for years that because of unfortunate circumstances that they're left high and dry. But again, that's all for me, but again, thanks for all that you do.
Will respond anywhere there? Yeah. Is there anything you need to respond to, sir?
Sure, if you are content, I think I've got most of those issues recorded here.
Right.
Just the one issue that I may want to touch on is the A7 and Doran's Rock. Unfortunately, it falls into the category of what we call a large minor scheme, so it's not in our strategic road programme, although we designed it there. But from a financial point of view, and it's really... we're waiting on a position when funding can become available, but we have it there. It's one of those schemes that we have there if funding does become available. So at this moment in time, we don't have any, but that's why I'm just keeping it on the system.
Before the scheme starts, is there going to be a cost base at 10? Because you upgrade the very public side of that road, you put the new curb on, and there's no place for the slow wave machines to the road to allow the traffic to pass. And that's what we're looking for.
Right, well, a couple more DAs yet, and boys can take note of those, any supplementaries there. Steve Crude, have you anybody here from Steve Crude?
Sorry, just one question, it's more kind of curious than anything else. It's to do with more the local residential roads and stuff like that and resurfacing, and I've got quite a few local constituents wanting to know some of their streets that such have been probably 10, 15 year old, they've been passed here and there and they're looking pretty dishevelled. Given the fact that it's financial limitations with yourselves, whereabouts is that in that aspect of it, and how do they qualify to get a surface that's not patchy everywhere and kind of decrepit as such? Because there are a few roads within the local area that really are, and it's just people have asked that question.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to thank the road service officials for coming along today, and I had already raised some issues with you this afternoon, but a project that I'm really wanting to just put on record again here is the adoption of the Carnglave Manor in the Spa. It really is causing a lot of problems for people who live there, who are trying to sell their house, or people are trying to buy a house in the estate because the area is not adopted. Now, it's between the contractor and between Northern Ireland Water, but I do feel that the road service have some sort of input here to ensure that this is moved on and that the area is adopted as soon as possible, because it has been ongoing for a long period of time. The second issue would be the speed limit in Seaford. It's currently sitting at 40 miles an hour. Now, I've raised this issue with the road service in the past, and they come back and say the due to the criteria because of the house they're sitting far back from the road, but I am really just requesting a common sense approach to this. If there's any way you can look at bringing this down, lowering it, Seaford is becoming a more busier village with newer house estates. There's a whole new house estate being built out the back, but at the moment there's an influx of young families, elderly residents living along the front houses, and it is totally unacceptable that the speed limit is still that high. It's the only small rural village within my area that does have a speed limit that high. Just inside Seaward as well, there's a state there called Ford Way. It has a speed limit of 30 miles an hour. I've raised that in the past as well, and there's an extension being built on the back of that. There's lots of young kids there. It's far too high for there. And finally, I just want to concur with Councillor Clark there that raised about the 12 Arches and Murlock. It sort of sits in between Mourne and Sleas Croob. Now, I have two young kids, and I would park in that car park just outside Bundrum and walk to Newcastle. On a day where that beach is really busy, you couldn't, because you can't walk up that layby. You can't go past the cars. Not to even mention parking there to go to the beach. It is a death trap with cars coming between Newcastle and Dundrum. I feel that the council and the DFI really need to look at doing something there, like a joint up, some sort of thinking outside the inbox to get this sorted, to try and come up with some way to increase the parking there along that stretch.
Thank you.
Do you want to respond to them too?
Sleep group. It's just one. It was asked for a point of information, Chair. Is that possible?
Go ahead.
From Ballinahinch to Jamara, what we call the top road, it actually goes up by the from the golf club to Jamara. That top road. Do you know what I mean? Is that a part of our area for the roads? Does that drop onto your area?
Yes, part of it was
the Nisa
division,
towards Jamara. Yeah, I've had a lot of complaints on that road there lately about the state of it. Not just the bumps any longer, but there's potholes on it. You tarmac the section of it, but it's more the Jamara side of it now. Is there any chance of getting something done there?
So that's in the Eastern Division.
Is that the Eastern Division?
It's
Who do you see there?
They've gone down a wedding officially here now to get in, and you've been in on your own DA as well, so.
I know. Sorry, Chair. Thank you.
Keep going. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Chair. Chairman, and we did also meet this morning, and I raised a good few issues this morning. In the meeting, but just a few I want to follow you up on is Simon was to come back on the junction of the Creamy Road. I've been raising it with you now, Simon, for several years. The other one is that in this brochure here, or in your document, it says here that the gullies will be cleaned once a year in the rural areas, and I know most of our gullies hadn't been cleaned in 5 years, and can you give us a public commitment that all of the gullies within the South Armagh area will be clean? We're looking at a commitment on that, because most of our areas, unsalted areas, and we flooding on them regularly, and the fact that there's so many springs within that area, the water runs down the road. So if we get a commitment that all of those gullies will be cleaned before the winter comes in, And we'll follow up on that. The other thing is that we talk about the spraying. The spraying happened with us in the last 2 weeks. Like, you know, what a waste. You know, like, we looked at the ugly weeds up through the footpaths and the streets all summer when everyone was trying, when there was hanging baskets and stuff out in the states and that, when people trying to do their best, when we had these ugly weeds, and we come in the last week. Or 2 weeks to do the spray and to kill the weeds. Like, the old people always put the sprayer away on the 15th of August. We'd come out with the sprayer after that, you know, which is total enough madness. Like, it's a waste of spray, it's a waste of money, it's a waste. But that's the same with operator, right? They were just bottom of the list, and that's what everywhere else is done. We're well used to that. The other thing is to, like we talked about, Simon, you talked about the holes were 4 inches and now we're repairing them at 2 inches. I just want to bring to your attention in April, after reporting a hole on the Dundalk Road for many times, many of the residents reported we couldn't get it fixed. The residents erected a local sign warning people about it. They actually put up the number of a local breakdown service that would come and take their car away. And it was only after that I got the papers out, put a level on the road and dipped the hole which showed 7 inches deep that we could get it fixed. That's what we're working with. And that's how we are treated, regardless to us as councillors meeting and ringing in and out. We're just treated. And I told myself tonight I wasn't going to get frustrated. I'm 20 years of this now and this came up, happened myself on. But I just had to say, like, that's what I had to do in April to get a hole fixed after the residents, everyone else getting cars damaged and involved. And we come out eventually, they did fix one, and there was one beside it when we left it. So it's so frustrating, but I'm not going to get wound up about it.
Mara.
Thanks, sir. Yeah, we had a good old meeting this morning, went through a whole list of roads. There was a few roads around Newtown done last year. Thanks for all that there, and there's a few more needs to be done this year. We talked about the Dundalk Street and Uri Street and the square. It's sort of like we're going to get to the stage now this year where all the roads leading into Newtown are going to be resurfaced and the centre of the town is just going to be in need. That EI scheme I just checked there, and that went through last week through the planning. So it's going to have a situation where there's going to be new curbs and that and new speed lights going in. So it's actually going to really improve the look of it. You're going to have a surface going down through the middle of the town, which is probably substandard compared to all the roads leading into it. When you go right at Dundalk Street, you're going to cross Newry Street. So the square there is brick paving, which is all sunk, probably as a legacy of it just never being properly developed in the first place. And I spoke with about the traffic management plan. Val. Yeah. So if it's possible at all, if I can get in touch with Val, maybe I could organise a site meeting with him just to talk about traffic management. There's a high volume of cars parking on both sides of the road there. That main road's only a narrow road at the best of times, so when you put a car either side of it, there's buses and lorries going up and down it, and it's just it's a disaster at the minute. There's the winter service. I mentioned it this morning. I've been mentioning it every year since I became a councillor. It impacts negative. No, the winter service doesn't impact negatively upon it. But there's two areas that don't benefit from it, and it's directly outside and the roads to Ballymire Primary School and Carrickavady Primary School. I feel I have a duty to report it to you because I'm getting it in the year every year. There was a school bus overturned outside of Carrickavady Primary School last year after sliding down the hill, and it's just that. We'll look at it again this year, and that I'm happy to go out and meet with anyone. I'm happy to get any sort of letters of recommendation out there from the boards of governors or principals of the school, just to try and get safer routes to schools before there's some sort of a serious accident. But that's me for my group.
Thank you very much.
Yep. Okay, going back to Sleeve Croob and in relation to the residential roads, I mean, the residential roads do get inspected by our staff, and they will assess those, and there are a number of options for resurfacing treatments. Sometimes if it does need bitmacked or maybe some sort of micro-surfacing, which is thin surfacing we can use, surface dressing. So they do get assessed and looked at and prioritised, but again, it's competing with other areas. So they're not overlooked, but they are compared to some of our major roads, you know, they don't get the same level of priority. So that's just the way it is. In relation to the spa, the issue about the road not being adopted, I can look into that with my development control teams. Setting of speed limits. We have a setting of speed limits guidelines, and you know the assessment through Seaford I think has been explained to me before by my traffic teams, and that's what the outcome has been. So I can't give you any indication that that's likely to be reduced, but we will keep it on our records. I take the point again about Murlock and the safety issues there, so we've touched on those. On the Slieve Gullion, Councillor Hardy, yes, you know, the Creamy Road's not on, and you know, we have talked about it every year. It's not something that I have forgotten about totally, but it's not within my remit in relation to the level of funding they'll have with LTSM. Gullies, I can give you a commitment that we will clean them once per year, and I've spoken to Ian and Stephen about that. Now, I can't give you a commitment that they'll all be cleaned by the start of the winter season. We will endeavour to do our best to do that, but the criteria is that we will clean them once per year. So I can give you that commitment, yes, but I can't, not necessarily by the winter season. The spraying of weeds, okay, I'll take your point on the spraying of weeds and whether we can try and plan that any better going forward, but Ian and I will talk about that. And we obviously didn't fix every pothole over 2 inches then if your situation of the Dundalk Road, so I have to apologise for that one and do our best. That's not the level of service we want to provide, and it's not the level that, you know, we're not, there's no difference in our service across the area, so what?
Mara, did you get your query responded to that? Do you have another? That's it. Simon, I think. Thanks very much for you and your team.
Sure, could I take just a few more minutes? Could I just say thanks to the Chief Executive here? I think this may be the last meeting I'm at before Liam goes, so could I just pass on my thanks and the work that we have done between ourselves and the Council, and just to wish you a long and happy retirement.
Thanks very much.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks very much, man. Thank you. Where's Greg? Is he hiding?
Yep.
Do you see the staff back there, or do you want to come on up then? Do you just want to introduce your team, please, if you don't mind? Go ahead.
Good evening, councillors. Chairman, Chair, Vice Chair. Good evening. Yeah. My name's Kieran McHugh. I'm the local transit manager for the Downpatrick and Newcastle area. And to my right is my colleague Greg McLaughlin for Newry, and our area scheduler, Peter Murphy. And we're joined this evening by our area manager, Arthur Hamilton, who will probably give a few words later on. I have produced just a short presentation just to try and bring council up to speed. And basically, we're just going to go forward and tell you, I want to make a short reference to our annual event of Bus and Train Week. I've got a short video presentation to show you about how the benefit it is, its sustainability of public transport. And then I'm just going to finish off with a couple of slides about some local sort of things that we've been working on over the district over the year. From my point of view, from down as far as Downpatrick and Newcastle, and I'll hand over to Greg to talk about the Newry area to finish. And then we'd have the pleasure of receiving any questions from yourselves. So with all due, continue, please.
All right, thank you.
So, as I say, this is the Downpatrick and Newcastle area. Starting off, what I'm going to speak about this evening is the Bus and Train Week, which is our annual event that we try to promote the sustainability of all types of public transport and how beneficial it is to the environment and the communities. I'm going to show you we've got a slight upgrade in vehicles over the year that's ongoing, and we have made some express service amendments, local service enhancements, and some local school bus improvements, which I'll finish on this evening. So I'm hoping that this is the thing I'm hiding it. So we've got a short video presentation, hopefully.
Today was about us launching our fourth annual Bus and Train Week. Yesterday we launched it on a health topic. Today was about focusing on the economic benefits of public transport.
I think what stood out to me were the hard economic facts about public transport and the role that it has to play in driving our economic growth across the city and across the region. The fact about if you invest £1 in public transport, it has a ripple effect of £4 into the economy.
Economic growth is really dependent on the connectivity, and if you're going to have investment in this city, it's going to be a city to work. The whole transportation system has to be integrated and has to work as well. Well, I think probably one of the big statistics that came across today was funding, and 50% less funding for transport in Northern Ireland relative to other UK regions. Now, that is a bit of a shock, given a lot of the work PVI has done around how we raise productivity, for example, is all about connectivity and infrastructure. So I would like to see, as many people in the room did, that problem being addressed. We need more funding if we want this to work.
What stood out for me today is that very, very small change will make a very significant benefit. So if just everybody made one small change once a week, we would make a dramatic impact on carbon emissions and on motor shift. And I think that's one of the key indicators that come out today. It's not about trying to massively change behaviour, it's about trying to take at least the first small steps.
So thanks, councillors, for your attention on that. The message that we're trying to get across is that a small change by everyone can have a significant effect on the environment, and one of the things we're doing towards that end as an organisation is, well, we use leaner burn engines, we're using Euro 6 engines now, which are much cleaner for the environment. We've got higher capacity and burning less fuel, so as I'll be touching on that later on, there's been a great impact with how we're upgrading the vehicles that we're operating within the council area. So, on to which, as you can see on the right there, the double-deck version, that's a representative of the Irby vehicle that we're using, and we hosted Meet the Manager Day, which a lot of faces in the room are kind enough to attend on the event. We launched it in Irby, basically within a 20-mile radius of Belfast, and this is going currently through Carried Off. We've just reviewed the entire service through Carried Off, so going forward from now, we'll have a peak service of 10 minutes from Carried Off down in the centre of Belfast, and that's supported by a 20-minute off-peak service and reflected for evening departures and running further into the evening. And this has been very well received. Now, I couldn't exactly bring you figures to substantiate that to as well as I would have liked to at this meeting, because quite simply it's only been running for a number of months and the school holidays and has impacted on it. But we're expecting to see a good and a significant a growth as a result of the improvements that we've made. On the left is what we call the Scania I6 vehicle, which is as you can just see from that photograph that I was able to acquire for it. It's a triaxle vehicle, once again with a Euro 6 type engine. It's got a 63 seat capacity and it has much better sort of fuel burning, for the environment. It's much cleaner engine. So those vehicles will be coming into service in the Downpatrick area over the coming months, just over
autumn and into the winter and be replacing some of our older vehicles that are currently in service, which will give us cleaner burning, more economic use and a higher seating capacity, increasing our ability to provide a better service for the customer-centric focus at peak times and for the commuter run into Belfast especially, but not only. So we're moving on from that. What we call our GLSCO Light Express, our express service enhancements, what we've done now, the 215, which is the main down Patrick to Belfast service, will no longer, as a result of this carried off review, will no longer call up the Church Road and carried off. We're expecting to have a reduction in the journey time by up to 10 minutes and maybe more as that goes on. That has been rolled out from the 2nd of September. The 237 Newcastle Express into Belfast will be doing the same. It'll not be stopping and carried off. And as a result, we expect at least 5 minutes of a reduction in journey time of that, possibly more. And the 240, which is our Downpatrick Newry service, it goes across, connects with the X5 to Dublin Airport. And, Greg will give you a better overview of that. But once again, we're seeing a good growth in that since we changed it last year, and the better connections with the X5. The X5 is showing great growth. Once again, I'll leave that to Greg to explain to you. Our local enhancements in this area, we've introduction of the Irby service, which is our 652 service, extended out to Ballinahinch as part of our carried off review. We've brought in an awful lot of extra journeys on and actually stretched them into the evening and given them a better service at weekends, so it's been well received. Excuse me. The 735 Stanford to Downpatrick now connects with the 800, which is one of the comments made directly to us from Council last year from one of the members. We've been able to provide that, and so that'll be ongoing now into the winter timetable as well. And then a 915 Newcastle to Downpatrick and via Castlewell and now comes up here and serves the Civic Centre and Down Hospital, which is supporting an initiative we made further on in the year whereby we brought our town service in. It now comes round the back of the facility we're sitting in now and serves the rear door of the hospital, which we felt was, well, we had another reason for doing it. The previously the service was operated by a minibus. And those minibuses, because of their age, have been withdrawn from service and we've had to replace them with a regular bus. The regular bus can't turn us really at the front of the hospital, so we took the opportunity at that time to restructure the service, and now it serves more civic amenities like the police station, the fire here, even for people that need the council building themselves. And after a rocky start, we're seeing that that's been better received now, and it seems to an element of success for that, so we're happy with that. Our local service enhancements continued. We now have two Sunday services that previously terminated our glass and extended out to Ballyhornan. Once again, it's a direct result of consultation with yourself. Whenever the problems were brought to our attention, we did whatever we could within resource to address those problems, and we're happy with that outcome. Our town service C15 minibuses no longer are in service, and that's really what I alluded to a moment ago about having to replace the through the side services. The reason why that's on there is if you see the bottom, we've also supported that with 3 early morning services inbound from our glass, now call it Civic Centre, and serve the same route in. And it's just really to give better connectivity from the public transport system with civic community. Finally, from me anyway, the local bus improvements, the 3 of them, there have been a number of them, and it's work in progress because every school year brings different problems and different things. You know, it's just a dynamic with us that we have to address annually and even ongoing through the year. But just to give you some examples of what we've done, we've been able now to supply an extra bus from Assumption Grammar from Ballinahinch straight to Stranford to the ferry in the afternoon, which has been well received by Miss Morphy, I can tell you. And we've got an extra bus from St. Patrick's Grammar down to Ballinahinch as well, which has also reduced a lot of cramming in the buses. And then finally, we've got a direct bus now from Downpatrick to Lagan College, which once again came from consultation with yourselves, representation from different members that this has been a problem that had been brought by various constituents, and now we've got a direct bus going from here for this school term to Lagan College. So With that, I would like to hand over now to Greg to explain some of the enhancements within the Newry area, and thank you very much for listening. Much appreciated. Thank you.
Which one? Good evening, councillors. I'd just like to start off by taking a few seconds to explain. Last year when we came, we had just acquired a direct service from Newry to Dublin, or X5 service, and I didn't really have any figures to do any comparisons, but the first slide, you can see, if you look at the growth, you can see month and month it's been substantial growth, to the point that in July, last year we carried just under 3,000 passengers on our Newry service to Dublin. This July we've carried just under 10,000. And where a lot of that growth has come from, people are now coming to Newry in the knowledge that there's a guaranteed seat to book online. The buses are starting in Newry, the buses are empty. We actually went out one morning, I think it was last Thursday morning, and we had a bus coming from Dublin. It was empty, and there were 51 people in Newry waiting to get onto it. Now, last year, we'd been relying on buses to come in from Belfast to pick those people up, but we had a 52-seater bus come in and 51 people left the station to go on it. So we're seeing good growth there, and we're hoping with our new buses, which will come on to shortly, that growth will be able to continue, we will be able to deal with it. This is a park and ride site we have at Sheepsbridge. Sorry, it's at Banbridge up there. We have two. We have our main one for Newry is Sheepsbridge, and we have one in Banbridge as well. When Road Service put in the initial site, park and share site that we called it, we continuously told them the site was too small to commit a bus every 15 minutes, particularly our Belfast Express bus, to go in there when we knew we wouldn't get any much return or much growth from it. They went back and they put in another 100 car site, so we now have 160 spaces, which makes it worthwhile too. And while we've only just started, we are seeing consistent growth. I don't have any figures yet, it's too early. It only really came into play at the beginning of June, and with schools being off, with people being on the holidays, you're not getting a true reflection. So hopefully when I come back this time next year, we'll be able to give you some comparisons. Kieran talked about getting some new buses. The Newry Gold Line fleet came in 2012, and they all came in together, which meant that by this date they're 7 years old and they all need replacement. So the good news for Newry is we are getting 15 of these new triaxles. So basically the whole fleet bar three.
Getting something.
Exactly, Mr. Chairman.
On the buses.
Exactly. And not before time, would you agree? What's different to these buses? One, they're a lot longer and they're bringing their own issues with that. But the good thing about it is these buses are all leather seated. They've got Wi-Fi. 62 seats as opposed to 53, and power sockets for people. The norm is now people expect, if they're going to commute, they expect leather seats, they expect Wi-Fi, they expect power points. Young people expect it, business people expect it, and that's the type of passengers we're looking to attract, because they are commuters and they come minimum 220 times a year to our buses. This is the expectation. So you'll begin to see these buses begin to appear. We would like to think October onwards, quicker if we can. You may see from time to time one driving around Newry. They're now being tested. Their drivers are getting trained in them, etc. So it's all good. It's all positive. And on the back of that, one of the things we did was when we looked at this, we're always looking at everything we do. Can we improve it? And one of the things we looked at is people from Newry and Banbridge were having to go through to Moore and Hillsborough. We're getting close to capacity in some of our services in the morning. We thought, look, we need to offer something better. What we came upon, what our schedulers came up with, which was a very good idea, was instead of, we have buses leaving Newry every 15 minutes, so instead of everyone doing Drumore and Hillsborough, you can now get on a bus every half hour, which will go direct from Banbridge to Belfast, so it misses out to Moore and Hillsborough. And what that has done is that's slightly skewed how people travel. People now in Newry
and Banbridge are now targeting those buses because they know that as soon as they leave Banbridge, they go straight to Belfast, and it leaves then more spaces for the other ones coming along that have to do the Moore and Hildebrand as well. So it's a better service for people who want to get to Belfast quicker. And lastly, the last year we did a trial period where we did a midnight service out of Belfast back to Newry, and it was deemed to be successful enough that we could enhance it. And now what we're doing is on a Friday and Saturday night from the 6th of September, Newry will be able to avail of a midnight service out of Belfast to Newry, where they run all year round, but on a Friday and Saturday night only. And again, depending on uptake, if it's successful, we'll extend it and roll it out again. But like all these things, we started off on the Friday and Saturday, which are the two obvious nights to do it, and if it's successful, we'll then extend it. That's great, thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Greg. Any other colleagues want to add to anything to that before I take the elected members in? Just take them in as you've indicated, because half our councillors were left anyway. Malik.
Sure, thank you very much. And gentlemen, thank you for your presentation. I have a couple of issues. First one is, I'd like an update on park and ride within our area. Have we identified anywhere yet? In previous meetings we've had, myself and Councillor Andrews with you, we'd mentioned possibility of maybe the Stainfield Cross Gar, even just out the Belfast Road here and down Padraig, and that because of the volumes of people that would come from the likes of Killeigh, and that rather than go from Killeigh to Belfast and go the long way around because you're maybe having to change at Cumber in the odd service, they'll come up in the park and cross Gar and jump on the Gold Liner. So they will, the express service gets them there quicker than that. Now, I think that's a must, and TransLink need to be pushing for that there, to try and get a park and ride somewhere along that corridor there. You know, I know we've Kearns Hill and that, but closer to Down Padraig and within the own Rowallan area. The second thing is, I'm going to ask you again, gentlemen, I've already met some of you in relation to this over a period of time. I have met with the principals of the three Ballinahinch schools on a couple of occasions, and you know what I'm going to say here, that with the volumes of kids that go from Killeigh now to the three Ballinahinch schools, Assumption, St Colman's and the High, there's upward between 30 and 40 kids. Now there's a bus, a direct service to bring them home in the afternoon, but there's no direct service in the morning, which means they're having to go to Down Padraig and then on to Ballinahinch. Now, as a councillor, I get grief from their parents, so I do in relation to it, seeking to see if we could maybe come to some arrangement that we could maybe get an early morning direct service on. And I say, and I'm not taking away from the fact I see in your presentation where there was a few direct services put in to Ballinahinch, to other areas, and that. So I plead with you again, and I'll ask you again, would you please go away maybe and look again at it to see. Now, I do know that this new term, there's apparently more kids going now from the Killeigh area to Ballinahinch because the schools are more preferable than maybe Cumber or Down Padraig. And also, I spoke to us about continuing the bus. There's a bus that comes from, I think, maybe some of the colleges in Belfast. It only goes as far as Killinchy. And then parents have to pick their kids up there. If that could be looked at again.
Do you want to maybe take a couple of councillors and then you can respond to a couple of things? Is that all right? Charlie?
Thank you, Chair. Gentlemen, thank you very much for the report. Greg, congratulations on the X5 numbers out in Newry. They're simply incredible. It just goes to prove that if you provide the level of service that, as you've rightly acknowledged, that people expect, that they will use the service. One of the feeder routes was the Newcastle that would connect in with Newry. Because the X5 beginning and from Newry has been such a success, Has that feeder route from Newcastle, the frequency of that increased, is one of the questions. And then the other thing is, last year, Greg, you had indicated that outside of that sort of Dublin-Belfast route, the 230 and the X5, that 39 was the busiest route. And there was a plan 12 months ago to upgrade the fleet there as well to reflect that. So I hope you're going to pull now 15 buses out of your back pocket. But, and then on a related point, you also announced last year, and I was delighted to hear about the Nightline pilot project across in Glen on Kilkeel. Now, I was disappointed to hear that that will not be, it's not envisioned that that will be returning. But I mean, the figures on that was a unique experiment, and I certainly am a believer that for anything to grow and expand and actually become a success, it has to be nurtured and been given time. Now, that I have the figures here for over the 12 weeks. Now, Kilkeel was 163 people, or 13.5 people per average per journey. And the Crossmaglen one was an average of 6.9 people. Now, instead of just saying, no, that's it, it doesn't work, would consideration be given to putting on one of the smaller busy buses and revisit that as an option? Or could you sort of tell us what was the target number there after the 12 weeks, and if those numbers that I've just quoted were deemed to be unsuccessful, then what number would be regarded as a success? Thank you.
Let's just take those two, and then we'll take Jerry and John in after.
All right, Coach, I'll leave the 240 to my colleague here who operates it. But going on to 39, I did push for that. We have a commercial team in Belfast who looks at all these. And a lot of these things are slow burners that you put out there, and you look for colleagues to help put pressure on, and you're always fighting for your area. So, for example, the X5, that was years in the making of constantly saying, look, we can do this. I know we can do this. Look at the figures. And we got it. The 39 was, again, was what's next. So the next biggest one's the 39. And we're constantly, myself, the line manager, Arthur, are constantly making a case. Look, get the 39 up there, get it looked at. The commercial team's very existence relies on success stories. So they'll come to us going, right, okay, what do you want for the 39? And what we're looking for is better spec vehicles, you know, more capacity on that route. And I can assure you, and you know, Mr. Chairman will back me up, he knew about the X5 for years before it ever happened, because I was always on and wanted you to push it, I wanted your assistance on it. You know, I can make the case for it, but it always helps if there's get support, local support looking for it. So I have no doubt it will come. I have absolutely no doubt that the 39 will be looked at, because it's the next biggest service outside of Belfast, number-wise. So it's a matter of time. We have to keep pushing and pushing at it. The Nightline, and I explained this at great depth last year, the Nightline was the council's initiative. They came to us to say, we've got an initiative. Will you partly match us for funding? And will you supply the bus and the drivers? So the two locations was the council's locations for running to. The night it was run was their idea. The lead up to Christmas was their idea. And when they put the figures in and they seen how much it's going to cost, they said, look, this is the pilot. We'll carry out a review when it's over, and we'll deem whether it's a success or not. And it was deemed not to be a success. Of the two, obviously, the Warren Point Kilkeel was by far the more successful. But once they decided that they weren't, the council, or the group the council put together to look at it, decided they weren't going to carry on with it, then us as a supplier, there was, like we had to stop it, because we only brought in supply the driver and the bus. Murray Bid did all the marketing, and the council supplied 50% of the funding, and they decided it was in their remit to decide whether it's a success or not, and they deemed it not to be successful.
and there was no way we could carry on with those numbers. So it was a pilot that was tried. They'd asked me beforehand, has it worked anywhere else? And I said, no. And they'd also told me, we've tried it before. We've tried it in Newry. We've tried it in other places I've been. Other managers have tried it. Late night services just do not pay their way. And the only way I became involved last year was because that the council were prepared for 50%, and we were prepared for 50%. But we knew we were going to lose on it, and we can't keep losing money on these initiatives. So it would be up to the council where they want to come back to us and say, look, we want to try something else or try something different. Thank you.
Jerry?
Yes, Greg. Your Cork and Ryde and Sheep Bridge, very successful, but what about the lighting in it, Greg?
We supply a bus. We supply a service to it. Road Service built it, basically. I'm not aware of that there was an issue, but if there is, I'm quite happy to take them back on your behalf to Road Service. What specifically?
Just safety-wise, there's a couple of people came to me and said there was very little lighting on it now, and a few cars were getting broken into.
Are you on about lighting where the bus and cars want to go? Or are you on about lighting at the actual car park itself?
In the car park itself.
We have the contacts in the Road Service, and I'm quite happy to get back on sir and say to Road Service, look, this has come up at a meeting. We maybe need to look at the lighting.
Yeah.
Security light.
Security lighting, security more lighting. Or less, yeah. That's okay. Gone. Thank you.
John.
Thanks very much, sir. Kieran. How's things? Glad to have you back, as always. Very good news, obviously, about the improvements that you're making to the service going to Belfast, especially with the removal of Cardiff. That will obviously have an impact on many commuters in the mornings. And again, likewise for the rural services coming into the town and coinciding with the Belfast ones in the morning. My question, I suppose, today is more probably on the park and ride. As you'd have probably known, I would agree with it. Obviously, there's been a lot of talk about Park and Ride in Downpatrick. It's my knowledge that they are looking at sites. But have they been in any sort of talk with yourselves about proposed sites? And are they looking to progress design? Or what stage would they be at with yourselves at this stage? And then the second one is obviously the Civic Centre and the number of local services you have now catered to the Civic Centre. You were saying about the uptick. How much has the uptake improved over the last sort of 6 months since those changes have been brought in?
Sure, thank you. John, good questions for us today. I'd like to respond first of all on the park and ride issue, because Councillor Walker, that's the time more or less addresses hopefully part of the question that you asked too. TNI work with DFI, we're all in acronyms today. TNI work with the DFI to identify possible sites, and then that would have to go down a whole different sort of road for acquisition and stuff and payment and whatever needs to be, and the development of the sites thereafter. Now, we've had a couple of sites identified to us, but in fairness now, they work directly with the central TransLink department that would cover potential park and ride sites globally as for the organisation. And basically, we haven't had any further movement since the last time I've had pleasure of speaking to council. So we're really just in the same place. The problems I can only concur, especially Councillor Watt, you've certainly identified. You know, it's right what you're saying. If you were coming across to the satellite towns and the problems that brings, but I just have to tell you, basically, the answer to both gentlemen, you know, this evening is that we haven't had any further direct approach that we're any closer to having any of those sites. TransLink don't acquire those sites themselves. They are sort of more or less specifically done through TNI and DFI. And we're only sort of working along with those organisations to try and develop them. John, I can't remember what your other question was. I'm very sorry.
I was just the uptake for
Right, it's the time there. That's our 315 service. It's hard to tell. It's pretty. It goes up and it goes down. It's
the town service is not very well supported generally in the Downpatrick area. But the only way I could really address you on that one, John, is really by when we first made the change, there was a little bit of a flurry of activity where some people didn't like it because it took the service right away from the hospital. Now, I had to be a little bit direct with the people involved, Chair. I had to sort of say to the health board in the area, it's not a hospital bus, it's a town service bus that serves the hospital. And it wasn't funded or supported, you know, for that reason. So we made a business decision. And we feel that what we've actually done is offered the same service with a minor adjustment to offer more facilities to the population that are using the service in it. There has not been a substantial change in it, but it has been sustainable. And we do see an element of growth on it, yes. But, I mean, in fairness, it wouldn't be anything like the success story of the X5 or anything like that there. You know, we just, you know, so once again, we're letting it sort of mill over and grow itself. I hope that addresses your question, Joe.
Well, William, there's no one waiting here to get in.
Well, Chair, if we may, Peter was going to address that. I mean, so through the chair, if that's okay. Yeah.
Go ahead, yeah. William, I know we have been aware that for the direct service from Sfrigley, Killarney, Crossgar to Ballinahinch, and we did bring it up with the Education Board, who knocked us back on it last year. To do that, I need a bus, and who do I take the bus off? No, to put the bus on, if an opportunity comes up within budget, that we can do that. If the numbers aren't as heavy coming in from Killarney to Downpatrick, as you've been aware over the years, if the numbers fall down coming into Downpatrick, there may be an opportunity to switch a bus around. But unfortunately, we'll not know that until September to the numbers. And we don't really know the full numbers until the end of September, when the A-level pupils decide whether they're coming back and going to the TAC or where they're going. So it's usually at the end of September where we do all our figures and see what all the numbers are. And we do our best to accommodate everybody. The question about the 240 service, it wasn't enhanced in any way, but we have seen a growth in numbers. There was a problem. The bus was leaving Uri at 4:15, and sometimes the X5 wasn't getting in time to meet the connection. So from September, we have retained it to 4:30 to give it that extra 15 minutes. But as my colleagues here were saying, I work basically for the commercial and planning team. So whatever they asked Kieran, or they would ask us schedulers to do, and we would do the plan and the costing, and then that's the way it goes down the line. But the school services are monitored all the time, loadings and what have you.
Thanks for the opening. The Democratic Unionist Party. Yeah. Thanks very much, Harv.
Thank you. Interesting your presentation. what I do get from you, it seems to be that the buses with all the plugs and the fittings and the heated seats and the kneeling buses all appear to be either tri-axle or be state-of-the-art vehicles, double-decker stuff. Do you not have such a vehicle? It would be smaller. Obviously, I'm from Kilkeel. Your stats probably don't add up for these bigger buses. Is it possible you would have a smaller type bus with a fancy gear? I do know that the first trip from Newry, or from Kilkeel to Newry in the morning, a lot of students going to technical colleges and that would at least half fill a good bus. And maybe if there was an incentive there, a wee bit like Councillor Tinley was talking about, an incentive with some of those younger guys, maybe more people would use your bus. You know, then maybe just think of the old type bus it used to be, but it'd be nice to see a bit of modern. I do see in Nod Time a Nerby bus coming out of Kilkeel. Maybe that's because it suits the situation. Is it a case, perhaps even the road infrastructure is bad, the good buses stop, but Newcastle and Stoke Warren Point, they don't come on into Kilkeel, same as the roads. we don't have good roads in Kilkeel either. So is that another reason why you try to avoid coming in because you damage your mirror on some of them bad roads and trees?
Thank you, Councillor, through the chair. To be quite honest with you, the our Irby fleet, for want of a better description, is basically based in Balvehench and serves a different hinterland. If you saw an Irby vehicle in the Kilkeel area, it was for some other reason, or for testing, or for training. Or I will be going back and asking some more questions myself, you know. In fairness, I think the way it is, for different reasons, where we are now as an organisation, and sorry to be cliche, it's something council is extremely aware of and what you've heard of on many occasions, but it comes down to funding and the pressure of funding. And what we do now is we now buy vehicles for the longevity, for their lifespan, what we're going to get out of them. And then it's also like the same as the law of diminishing returns. The more you buy, the better a deal you get. The only thing I can tell you is a direct answer to your question, Councillor McHale. There isn't a smaller version available to us at the minute. So I do hear you. And I've genuinely taken your comments on board, and we'll look at maybe any opportunity if it presents itself. But in our particular operational area, going forward, we'll be looking to sort of upgrade the bigger vehicle that we have, simply because the nature of the work we do. Our operational area is sustained by schoolwork and express work. It's our life's blood. So we have to put our investment into maintaining the vehicles that are going to satisfy that market primarily. But it doesn't mean to say that your comments aren't valued and have substance. So they could only look at that going forward. But I'm just looking across the room and answering you directly that there isn't a plan at this point to develop a smaller vehicle or introduce a smaller vehicle into that particular catchment. I'm sorry if that's disappointing, but that's just where we are. But it really is down through funding and what we can get as an organisation through the renovation and upgrade of our general fleet and right across the organisation, right across the whole plan. So, sorry if that's a disappointing answer, but that's the best I can give you this evening.
Yeah, you might take a look at that. I've got a question that might be a bit off the beaten track, but if I'm sort of straying out of the off topic, I'm sure that the chair will be able to keep me on topic. There's a lot of concern amongst elderly residents recently with the cut of the BBC license fee, and from what we heard tonight from the road service, there's a continual reduction in the budget, if not reduction budget practice, then that seem to be putting real bad restraints on their activities across the area. Would you have any anticipation of any changes to the senior smart path, and is that subsidised by yourselves or by the apartment?
As I understand it, the department have capped it at, is it £10 million, Arthur? The senior pass? Yeah, I think maybe Arthur will be more.
Cheers. Sorry for causing
right.
The same. No,
no
question.
You're right.
It's the department. They fund that. It's not something for us to comment on, really. We welcome it. We have funding that Greg mentioned, the cap that we get each year, and we normally achieve that cap. About the future of it, we have no idea, but ultimately we need funding. You heard in the nice shiny video that we've done, which is short and sharp and to the point, we are 50% less funded than across in GB, 60% less than in England, and 40% less than in Scotland. So we need more funding for public transport, and that's one of the means whereby we get that funding, if you like, and it gets people connected, rural, elderly people. So it's a positive thing. We hope it will continue, but we can't comment on its future.
Thank you.
Have you finished that one yet?
Yeah, that's me fine. Thank you.
Off your late, please. Two.
Hey. I
Actually, just asking, it's an ongoing issue as such, and it's regards to buses through Newcastle, Castlewell, and that direction. Given that Castlewell is ever developing and becoming more kind of a holiday, summertime aspect of it, there doesn't seem to be an equity as such within the buses, especially on a Sunday. There doesn't appear you can go to Newcastle to get the bus at Belfast, and vice versa that way. It just doesn't seem to be equitable there, and especially students going back into on a Sunday as such into Belfast as such. Where are we in regard to that? Is that being looked at, or is there an issue at this moment in time that's been brought any further?
Peter's our area senator, would deal directly with the deployment of resources, especially over the weekends and stuff like that. We're looking for growth. If you mind, I would let Peter handle your response to that. Yeah,
this problem and issue was brought up last year. Basically, what the problem is, Newcastle being a holiday resort, as every time the sun shines, the buses fill up, and if I put a bus via Castlewell, unfortunately the roads I can't put a double decker on, and the maximum seated load I can put in through is 55 seats. We have over the years tried to get the roads, the branches and that cut, especially up around Drummer Road, but it's no success. So last year we put in two filler buses in the evening, 17A's, which come through Castlewell and go down to Clough and meet the service 20 in Clough in the evening for the student. Now, there wasn't a great uptake on it. We've had talks with the driver meeting there, and they've come up with a couple of ideas which we may progress forward with. Basically, Newcastle, if it had been a wet summer, there'd have been plenty of room in all the buses, but unfortunately, it's not unfortunate, but it was a busy summer, and double deckers, we need double deckers, and unfortunately, the wee bit between Ballinahinch up through the Spa and Drummer Road, the roads aren't suitable for a double decker, so that's why we're skewed towards service 20 and 520. Now, we did do an improved 518 or 18 service on a Saturday. We put four in on a Saturday through to Belfast to improve it a wee bit, you know, for their own direct service. But we're running into problems with that too on a Saturday, where the buses were leaving Belfast and there wasn't basically room to clear the road, as we would say, because we can only use small buses. So we'll have to really come up with another option or another route or something. But there are a couple of thoughts in the pipeline which we're looking at, which maybe solve the problem where we're thinking maybe we're only throwing this out, so it's only speculation, is to bring the buses from Belfast directly through to Clough and then turn right at Clough up around Castlewell and vice versa. But that is all going forward. I'll put that to the commercial ops with support from Kieran here, and I'll have to go through licensing. I think it's basically, I'm 35 years on the buses, and the old days we just, if we wanted to do something, we'd done it the next day, but in days they've all gone. So there is a plan and a thought, so we're going to survey the numbers between Ballinahinch, Spa, Drummer Road to see what the usage is, to see if it would be better working at the other road where we could put double deckers on. So we're looking at it, but we haven't got the plans sold yet. So the 217A's on a Sunday brings the kids down, the students down to Clough. There's a through ticket, and they get the buses from Clough to through to Belfast.
Yeah.
Thank you. I just wanted to ask a quick question. I know you said being in contact about antisocial behaviour on the town service route, and there may be a chance that it'll have to be rerouted. Did that happen, or is it just sort of blown over? Touch wood.
Hi, Gina.
Hiya.
Just to let you know, unfortunately, we are sustaining another attack there on Thursday evening.
Right, okay.
Now, as I explained to you whenever I spoke to you, mm-hmm. it would be very, very last resort for us to curtail or redirect the service. Those are if things came out of,
mm-hmm.
you know, things got a bit out of hand. In fairness, you know, the way we're looking at it right now is that these are sort of just sporadic attacks, and it could be the time of year, kids bored, still a bit of light in the sky, they haven't gone back to school.
Okay.
But we will monitor it in the coming weeks now, and thank you for the interventions that were done, because it did cut back, and there was, like, for a period of 2 or 3 weeks there was nothing. But I'm sorry to just report to you this evening that there was another attack up there in the same model farm area Thursday evening.
Okay, well, sure, we can keep close to it, and any support you need, just give us a shout.
Many thanks.
Okay, thanks.
I think that's great. I don't want to miss the last bus, though. I think that'll do it for the night.
Sorry, Chair, just before we meet, may I just be very, very quick?
Oh, Terry.
Sorry, Terry.
So it's not like a wedding feast, you know, it's a good stuff for the last. But well, anyhow, Kieran and Peter, thanks very much for all your help over the years. Just in relation to, I know you spoke about down Patrick the Lag in college, but I did raise issues with you about Ballinhench. You know, there was parents in Ballinhench who sent kids to Lag in college about, you know, the bus services. So maybe if you have a bus from down Patrick, maybe that could be looked into as well. And I also do support the calls for better bus services, the Kelly Crossbar, Ballinhench and all. And again, the frequency of buses, the increases, it's good to see. So again, keep up the good work. And I look forward to torching these all soon. Thanks.
Okay, yeah. Just to finish off, just to get back to the point we should have really mentioned about the down Patrick area for Park and Ride, was a site that was identified to us by DFI was out at the industrial affair. Now, it's still very, very formative. There'd be problems with it, but we'll be maybe looking for it as a plan going forward. It requires substantial investment, and would it really, in fairness, were possible council support. One of the things, access and egress could be a problem, because if you come out of it in the evening turning right, you know, you know it's going to be very difficult, you know, with the traffic coming out of Down Patrick at that time of night. So there's issues with the planning and development and exactly how it's going to look at the end. So, but it is the most recent site that was identified to us, but it is still very formative. Once again, it's going forward. It does happen, just comes back to investment, you know, and council support for the investment on that would be, you know, very much appreciated. My final point is, I wanted to do, I'm sorry now, I know it's late in the evening and I know there's not so many here now, but there's a thing. Over the summer we've had another problem that's manifesting itself, and it's good to see, don't get me wrong in a way. There's an awful lot more concert activity happening in Belfast, and it's attracting a lot of people, you know, young ones, down into the city for various things that are happening in the evening. What that has brought with us has brought a few problems. And, like, for example, well, without being too graphic, they don't really behave themselves too well on the bus. And what I was really looking at is just if there's any sort of way council support. When I say council support, I'm asking even agencies or something that can help us out. There's underage drinking. Very, very bad problem. The police do their best, and I have to actually commend the support that we do receive from the PSNI, but their resources are not limitless, and it's just a thing going forward. I don't even know. I'm just asking. I'm sort of throwing out what I'm intending to do is myself and an inspector are going to go out over the schools. I'm going to ask the principals if they let us sort of make an announcement out at assembly. To younger, we're actually trying to establish a protocol. It's something we're going to look at as an organisation. I was raised it with my own line manager this morning. It just seems to be a wee problem that's going to get worse, because they seem to be upping it every year, which is a good thing. And also, socially, I mean, the kids need to enjoy themselves, and I understand that. But it's just, without going to, I just said, their behaviour on the bus is inappropriate, to the point where we're going to have to take some sort of action on that. We would prefer getting support from any quarter that can be suggested to us through council. And thank you very much for having us here this evening. It's much, much appreciated. Thank you very much, all.
Chairman, maybe just if you wanted to give us some stuff through social media, we can put stuff up. But if you're getting a message out, if you're using through your own social media, if you want a copy of us into it, we'll put it up on our Facebook page or in terms of our Twitter pages or Instagram. I'm not big into the social media side of it. But again, we're happy to get stuff because I know that, for example, Louth County Council issues in Carlingford, you know, and we actually coming up to events, we put stuff on to remember to be member behaviour of us. This is your service. Abuse it and you lose it. That sort of messages across that we can actually put out. And because again, members pick that up. You know, council members will pick up from the council website and they can bang it out across their members. So again, we're happy to work with you on it in our comms team if you want to come back to us on that, you know.
Even if it's these organizations,
yeah.
John.
Just on that point, it's probably worth raising with the PCSP as well, going forward, and maybe get an initiative to, you know, to write to the schools a joint letter to the schools, but also to off license as well, making them available, you know, reducing the availability of alcohol to coaches, because the coach, you know they're getting the buses, you know, they must be aware of it. So I think it's important we do that, and I propose we do it.
John, I second what he's just proposed actually, the PCSP, and also maybe say, like, if it's an issue around the depots as well, because obviously you have our depots in Downpatrick and Newcastle, and, you know, if it's a case of maybe even needing the community safety warden for the visibility aspect, you know, during those other times of the stressful, that could be maybe something looked at in PCSP though, but I would definitely second proposal for to maybe have our PCSP to liaise and to look at that issue.
Yeah, we could join the post at it, maybe get some success out of it. Thanks very much, gentlemen, for your time. Thank you. Nice
chance. Sorry, Mr. Chair. Could we just wish Liam a long and happy retirement? Yeah. Be remiss of us not to.
I'll get me bus past my
face. You will. You're far too young.
See, courses of a healing delegate fellow.